Salam. Welcome to day 10 of course 4. And today I'm going to do a little recap of what we have studied so far, because the phrase that we are going to study today is sort of is atypical, to say the least. And it is not something that we have gathered studying the first chapter so far. You will find out when I explain the phrase. So since this is the opening chapter of Quran, Al-Fatiha, and we are going phrase by phrase and trying to go as slow as possible. As soon as we see a blessing, a sign of the divine, and by now I'm sure that you know that all the signs around us, all the phenomena in the manifest reality have an underlying implicate order. This is something that we started observing in our first course 4 months ago. So I'm sure that your appreciation for the implicate order has successfully developed to a level that was not there before. So when, to this underlying implicate order that is directed by the divine creator of everything, we start appreciating that. And as soon as we become aware of this implicate order, we are overcome with feeling of awe, a recognition and an appreciation develops for the divine. This appreciation and this recognition is called upon in the first phrase of the Quran when we say Alhamdulillah. Now we express our gratitude and our recognition of the divine creator. Once we are conscious of the hand of this creator, it is natural to look for this hand in everything that we see. Because as we increase in our awareness about the implicate order, we keep increasing in appreciating the similarities between the underlying order of all manifest reality, no matter how diverse it is, no matter how different things look from each other. We can appreciate an underlying implicate order. So Allah answers to this curiosity in the next phrase of the Quran when we say Rabbil Alameen. So when we say Alhamdulillah, it is admitting our appreciation, our recognition that grows out of the awe and the connection that we make with the implicate order, and we appreciate and we are grateful. Hence the utterance of the first phrase of the Quran, Alhamdulillah. And as soon as we say that, and this is a general phrase, this is a general expression of love and gratitude, we say Rabbil Alameen. So the divine hand that we are searching for is found in all creation, all worlds, all the multiple universes, in fact, all space and time. That is what this phrase or this term embodies. So this divine creator is the nourisher and the sustainer of everything. Starting from its unknown origins, the unknown origins, the unknown ingredients of everything around us, up to its full bloom, its full function, and then finally its death, its end. And even then, after the death, and the ending of a creation, the resurrection, and the accounts and the deeds and the returns, and actually no ending is an ending, but a new beginning into a new realm, into a new existence. And Rabbil Alameen embodies that like no other term. This belief is replicated in all scripture, across scriptures. We know that death is not the end of anything. And this is scripture, starting with Torah and then the Bible and then the Quran. We know that there are multiple worlds and then there are multiple levels of existence possible, and that death is not the ending of anything. If anything, it is actually new beginnings. So we say this word, and this divine sustainer is merciful beyond measure. Now when we say Rabbil Alameen, the next phrase that we utter is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. And that we discussed in detail, in actually more depth than is desirable at this stage of our knowledge of Quran. But these terms are so important, and they are uttered hundreds of times by a believer, during our daily activities, not only our activities that are related to rituals of worship, but actually the believers are obligated to say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim before anything that we do. And this is to keep us conscious and to keep us connected and to keep us mindful of the fact that we are starting that task with full belief and full recognition of that divine creator, of that Allah who is merciful beyond measure. So with this belief, anything that is started is then obviously it's like knowing that somebody who is merciful and loving unconditionally and is oft merciful, it's not just one time deal that he has with us, he is oft merciful. So this term sort of is a climax when we say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Now after this phrase, when we utter this phrase, the unconditional love of this divine creator is like no known measure of love that we know. And that is signified by the root word raham, like I explained to you, which means the womb of the mother or the uterus of a woman that conceives and nourishes and nurtures and develops and finally gives birth to a baby. And going through all this pain and going through this entire tedious process with really no benefit of its own. It is the prime example, the only example of unconditional love that we can imagine. And that route is selected by Allah to make the two of his most favorite names, which are Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Now after we tap into this tremendously rich and infinite mercy, the Rahmah of the Creator, the next word that we say is Malik, and I explained it to you in detail, the sole owner with full authority and absolute control, who is responsible and caring for his creation. And this is undivided ownership. This is sole ownership. The dominion of Alameen, the dominion of Alameen belongs to that divine creator. Hence, he is the Malik. So the next phrase after this Malik, that the phrase that we say in the Quran is Yawmiddin. So actually when we say Malik, and it is an all-encompassing term of ownership, we utter the phrase Yawmiddin, which is, this is the divine order of the Quran. I could not have said it better. Nobody, no one in known creation could have said it better than the divine creator. You know how we say, one of the formulas for success, like one of the rules of the seven habits of highly effective people, and how many executive rules and rules for teaching, and how many rules and regulations, and how many principles of good education can be said in the phrase, begin with the end in mind. Remember? Those of you who are familiar with Dr. Stephen Covey will agree with me that this is one of his rules. The beginning with the end in mind is the key to success. You know, visualizing the end, knowing where my struggle and where my hard work is taking me and where I want to be, what are my objectives, what is my aim, and then planning according to that is the universal key to success in all human endeavors. So, you know, how can we imagine that we know this secret and our divine creator does not know this secret? Obviously, when he says Malik, he reminds us of his sole ownership, and at the same time, he reminds us that it is not the creation and the realm in which you are existing that, you know, I have the sole ownership of. I am the sole owner of the day when your deeds will be rewarded, when you will find an equal return of all your deeds in this life, when your existence in this world will be broadcasted in front of you, and when you will be judged according to your intentions. And according to that nobody in the world knows about. All they see is your actions. You know, but what you had in your mind and heart, the idea, the seed that led to that action, and then that action, and then the consequences of that action, all of that is encapsulated in this one word, Deen. Yawmiddin. So yom basically is a unit of time, and yom in Arabic means day. So this is one day, the day of judgment, as it is called, you know, the day of judgment. In all scripture, it is called the day of judgment, the end of times, the end of the world, the final day, doomsday, as we have in the pop culture, the, you know, the Armageddon, and so on. So all these terms are encapsulated in this one word right in the beginning of the Quran, in the fifth phrase of the Quran, is Yawmiddin. So, you know, digressing a little, honestly speaking, this is like an unpleasant shock. You know, like an electric jolt after enjoying the words of the Quran that describe the blessings and the mercy and the gifts and the unconditional love of the Creator. I mean, here is a chapter that opens the Quran and that reminds us of the immense appreciation and recognition that we can develop just by observing the creation and the ultimate consciousness of the Creator that leads to being grateful for the blessings, and we say Alhamdulillah is an expression of love, is an expression of gratitude, and then Rabbil Alameen is an expression of His majesty and His control and His ownership. Not ownership, because that is coming in Malik, but Rabbil Alameen, you know, the sustainer, the sustenance, the nourishment, the nurturing that we receive from the divine. And then we say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Obviously, that is the ultimate expression of mercy. And all of a sudden, we say Malik, and we are sort of reminded of the control and the limits that this creator, this divine creator, exercises over our existence. And right in the next phrase, we are reminded that it is not only this existence, it is an existence beyond this existence. You know, everything will end, everybody will die, and then they will be resurrected. And yes, there is a time where they will rise up to meet their Lord, in the words of the scripture. Even non-scriptural mysticism has rules and laws, like the karma. You know, if you do good, good will come to you. And when you do evil, and when you send out evil intentions into the universe, that is what you are inviting back into your existence. And then there is the reincarnation. You know, what we do in this world will determine what we will be reincarnated as in the next life. If we do good, we will be reincarnated as something good or someone good. Or as the Hindu caste system says, that you will be born in a higher caste than your current existence. So the law of karma, or the law of the returns, is no surprise. And this Yom Din is describing the exact same thing. It is one day, which, by the way, the day of the judgment in Quran is described as being equal to 50,000 years. So according to our worldly measure of a day, in Arabic, when something is in doubt, you know, it is so long that it is like 50,000 years. That may be true. Or it may actually be 50,000 years, because all human souls and all the creation who is willful, so that includes humans and jinns. Genie, as we discussed some time ago, this creation will be put to test, and this creation will be resurrected and questioned about their deeds in this existence. And I mean, I think it will take more than 50,000 years to question and to reassign that entire creation of willful beings, starting with Adam. And for jinns, it starts even before that. And to take all the generations of humans up until the day of judgment, man, I mean, 50,000 sounds like really, really an eye blink in the eternity that we are talking about. So this is a day in which each soul shall be given equal returns for its deeds in this life. And end of this world, you know, so end of this world, this existence, and the resurrection into a new existence where justice and equal returns are promised is all encapsulated in the fourth phrase of the Quran. Maliki Yawmiddin. A big part of Quran is dedicated to the actual description of this cosmic event. Although I will not go into the details, it will take 2 hours, more than that, if I just go over the references to this day in the Quran, just give you the numbers. But a big part of the Quran is dedicated to this, and we will study that in detail. So the details of this occurrence, you know, how it will happen, what will happen actually, what will happen to the physical structure of the earth, what will happen to the mountains, what will happen to human beings, how people will behave, our helplessness on this day, and the deeds that lead to positive and negative results on this day are a very big subject of the Quran. Here it is an opening. It is just to give you an idea. It is just to give you a preview of what is coming. So Yawm al-Din is that term which I most briefly I described it for you. Now, philosophically and logically also, all actions lead to results. Those results have to be judged. And, you know, look at what you're doing in this world. All progress is dependent upon exams and tests and assignments, and performance in those tests and exams and assignments determines the next level. Imagine a video game. It's something designed by children, by young people. You know, moving to the next level is the aim of every player. And how to move to the next level is going through certain tasks and certain activities and tests, and succeeding in those will lead you to the next level. So this is a simple logical explanation of this day of judgment that all humans are promised by the divine creator. Then in physics, we know the law of entropy. And the law of entropy is actually, it supports with the timeline, all matter is heading towards disorder. I will try to find short descriptions or short explanations that are user-friendly about the law of entropy, about the fate of gravity of our universe. I'm not promising, but I will try my best. Also, in biology, we know that the theory of the programmed cell death or apoptosis, which is inbuilt. I mean, our cells, each cell knows a certain time where it is supposed to die. After so many cell cycles, after such and such function, the cell is fated to die. So each and every cell knows, and the cells that escape this mechanism are, you know, the type of cells that actually escape this mechanism? They are the cancer cells. So the cancers forget that they are supposed to die at a certain time, and they sort of escape that that programmed cell death, or that apoptosis, or the autophagy, or the suicide that a cell commits at that set time, that is written, transcribed in its genes. So, you know, escaping that phenomenon, escaping that natural end that is written for the cell will make it cancerous. It will not make it immortal, it will make it cancerous. It will ultimately kill the entire organism. So these, you know, the biggest problem with accepting such a day of judgment is actually, it sounds as if whoever is refusing or not accepting this phenomenon of meeting an end and then being accountable for what was done, or actually rejecting the law of karma, it is not a matter of religion anymore, because religions are from scriptures and scriptures are scriptures, and they can be well corroborated with scientific research. I think rejecting that, you know, we are going to meet an end, and that is not the end of everything. In fact, that is a new beginning. Rejecting the notion, it actually signifies a lack of knowledge. It does not signify a lack of faith, something else. It signifies a lack of knowledge about other things, about what the sciences are saying, and about what the developing world is actually facing. All of us must be aware of the phenomena very easily, that a Yawm al-Din is not beyond comprehension at all. So that is all for today. All my love and dua. Salaam.